If you'd like to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13, it's on page 1212 in the church Bibles. And let me pray as we stop. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word changes. And Father, we ask that as we look at your word together now this morning, that we would be changed. That your word would be working in us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So Hebrews 13. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are ill-treated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of the lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for which such sacrifices God is pleased. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. Now may the God of peace, who for the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with every good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation, for in fact I have written to you quite briefly. I want you to know our brother Timothy has been released. If he arrives soon, I will come with him to see you. Greet all your leaders and all the Lord's people. Those from Italy send their greetings. Grace be with you all. Rose-tinted spectacles. It's that idea of looking back at things that have happened in the past. And as you look back at them, you put a kind of glow on what actually happened. And though we all view things differently, there's a tendency to look back at the past and think, It is better than it is now. Younger people, I'm sure you've heard your parents say many times that this isn't how it was in my day. But it's a thing that we all do. I grew up on a cul-de-sac, like I mentioned. I grew up in Ponders End, and there was about 8 boys, all within a few years of each other, so it was very noisy. The summer holidays were full of lots of mischief and lots of playing. But as I look back, occasionally, as I tell stories to Amy, I'll make what was pretty ordinary sound extraordinary. See, there's no problem in looking back and to reminisce. Just the other week, I was with some friends and we did that. And that's a fine thing to do. But there is a danger there. There's a danger that we look back and think, if only I could be there again. And that's a particular danger if you're a follower of Jesus. You see, the writer of Hebrews wanted to warn those readers about the dangers in looking back. And he wants to warn us in the dangers of looking back. See, the first readers were going through severe persecution. They were being persecuted for being followers of Jesus. And that persecution could cause them to look back and think, why don't I go back to my old life? That old life becomes more appealing. And the truth is that's the same for us. That as we look back, we could think the same. But we need to not do that. We not need to look back and think, oh, let me go back to my old life. But we're supposed to look to Jesus. So that was what this Hebrews is about. Knowing that Jesus is greater and forget everything else. I hope to share 3 things from Hebrews 13 that we can keep on doing to help us to look to Jesus more. And the first thing we need to do is keep loving. Keep loving. Let me read verse 1. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. The church is supposed to have an unexplainable love for each other. You see, siblings have an odd relationship. There's bickering, there's fighting. There's unnecessary squabbles about nothing. But the truth is, when your sibling is in trouble, if they really needed you, you'd be there. Forget all the arguments, forget all of the falling out. If your sibling needed you, you'd be there. It's that idea of having your back. And well, the church, God's people, we're supposed to have our brothers and sisters' back. And there's no asterisk, there's no small print to think, oh, love, accept. No, we're to love one another. See, we're all different as people, from different countries, different cultures, different classes. But we all, although we have many differences, we're all united in Christ. And it's the danger to let our differences overcome us. But no, we're supposed to be united, to love one another. And part of the way that we can love one another is by showing hospitality. There should be hospitality shown within the church. Often hospitality means that you're taking time out of your own day. There's a financial thing involved. You can't even get a meal deal for £3 anymore. Hospitality takes your time and your expenses. But it's an amazing thing. When I first came to Enfield, when I first went to Enfield Town Church, I was amazed that people just opening up their homes to me. I didn't really know these people, but they opened up their homes to me. And it was an amazing thing. And it is an amazing thing to show hospitality. It does way more to the person than you ever realize. And when we show hospitality, there shouldn't be a guest list. There shouldn't be a select few people who we show hospitality to. Because it's easy to show hospitality to those who we like, those who are similar to us, or those who we know can repay the favor. But why not show hospitality to that person who's slightly less lovable? Or that person who might just not leave? When we show hospitality, we shouldn't have a guest list. There shouldn't be a restrictive group. That is a way that we can keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Another way we can keep on loving one another is how we respond to the persecuted church. Let me read verse 3. Continue to remember those in prison as if you... Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are ill-treated as if you yourself were suffering. We're supposed to remember to pray for those who are going through persecution. The language of the passage almost talks about walking alongside those, walking with those who are struggling, who are being persecuted. Can I be honest with you? I was very struck about my lack of praying for the persecuted church. My lack of love towards them. I think we can get so caught up in our own lives that we forget the bigger picture. And as we pray for them, we shouldn't pray that the persecution should stop, because being persecuted is part of being a Christian. But we should pray that in that persecution that they'd stand firm, that they'd hold on to Jesus. That is a way that we can keep on showing love to them. We need to keep on praying for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted around the world. We also can show love and keep loving by hating what God hates. Let me read verse 4. The marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge this adulterer and the sexually immoral. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. See, sex and money are very important in today's society. And the importance of those in today's society are everywhere to be seen. But the church should be different. The church should have a difference about the way they view those things. See, sex is a gift from God, but only to be enjoyed between a husband and wife. Outside of that, everything else the Bible calls sin. And see, sexual immorality is more than just the physical acts. It's your thoughts, it's the things you look at. And how does God treat that? Well, it tells us He judges that. See, sex and money are powerful tools the devil uses to draw people away from God. So when we think about money, I think the general thought is we could all do with a bit more. We can all look at that neighbor that has slightly more than us. That massive TV, that big garden. We're always looking up rather than looking down. But what does God do? God provides. He says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. He gives us everything we need so we can be content. So we should be content. And I'll say, if you're struggling with these things, deal with them quickly. Don't let the devil take a foothold. Because sin can sometimes be like that dish that had the grease that you've just abandoned for ages and refused to clean. The longer you leave it, the harder it is to deal with. If you're struggling with those, deal with them. So we need to keep on loving. The second thing we need to do is to keep following our leaders. We need to keep following our leaders. Verse 7 says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And verse 17 starts with, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority. What's the passage telling us? That leadership matters. Leadership in the church matters. And our response to leadership matters. See, we can all tell the difference between good leadership and bad leadership. Bad leadership often leads to discontentment, to outrage. But we want good leaders, don't we? We want leaders who care. And as followers of Jesus, we have the best example, don't we? See, Jesus is the greatest leader, the gold standard. He took leading the flock so seriously that he died for them. Verse 12 says, and so Jesus also suffered outside of the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. That is the leader that we have. See, he's not just a leader. He's a savior. There's a term used in sport occasionally, and when it talks about carrying the team on your back. It's usually where your team is performing badly, and you need someone to step up, someone to carry the burden. Jesus carries the team on his back, and he does so much more than that. See, things were hopeless, but he makes them right. See, we were all heading for destruction. We were all heading and rightfully facing God's punishment. But Jesus dealt with that. So if you put your trust in him, he takes that punishment away. And not because we deserve it. Not because we're loving, lovely people. No, it's God's grace. It's God's undeserved kindness to us that caused Jesus to die. Death. It was just last week we were looking, celebrating Easter, weren't we? That amazing weekend where Jesus died and rose again so that we could be followers of him, so we could be in a right relationship with God. That's the type of leader we have. That's the type of leader we should be following. See, Jesus is the perfect leader. Why else is he the perfect leader? It's because he's unchanging. Jake shared those verses this, as we started our service, that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't know about you, but I change a lot. My mood changes a lot. Depending on how tired I am, how hungry I am, how my sports team is doing, so much changes my mood. But Jesus is unchanging. He's consistent. It's such a simple verse, but it describes Jesus' character perfectly. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He doesn't wake up on the wrong side of bed. And he's the leader that our leaders should be pointing us to. You see, a good leader doesn't point you to themselves, but points you to Jesus. Good leaders point you to Jesus. You need to be praying that our leaders would be doing that. That they'd have their eyes fixed on Jesus. And in turn, help us to fix our eyes on him. See, sometimes we focus on the external. We look at what someone may be like on the outside. But it shouldn't be if they've got a nice light blue shirt or a super dry polo that is what makes a leader. No. A good leader is someone who's devoted to following Jesus. And we shouldn't get carried away, the Hebrews 13 says, with what the external does. See, you can be the most engaging speaker in the world, but if they do not speak about Jesus, then it's worthless. It can be the most charismatic person, but if they don't speak about Jesus, then it's worthless. We need to be focusing on our leaders' hearts. That's the characteristic that matters the most. Not what's on the outside, but what's on the inside, where their heart is. And their heart should be with Jesus. We should never sacrifice the fundamentals of the gospel for the cross of our Lord Jesus. His word, he should be honored through his preaching. And a good leader shows you that. It even says in here that we should imitate them as they imitate Jesus. So be praying for your leaders, that they stand firm, that they keep their eyes fixed on Jesus, so that you as a flock will collectively grow in your love of him, so that you can be looking forward to paradise together. See, this world fades. Every time I look in the mirror now, I feel like my hairline is slowly creeping backwards, and there's nothing I can do about it. There's no more combing it forward. It's going. But it's just a sign that everything fades. This world around us fades. But there is a home that lasts forever, that we can look forward to together. So, see, the truth is that following Jesus comes with a cost as well, though. Following Jesus comes with a cost. Let me read verse 12. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. So Jesus suffered for his people. And the passage continues by saying, let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. What does that tell us? That they persecuted Jesus, so they persecute us. Jesus suffered, so we will suffer. And that suffering may vary from a derogatory comment to some people suffering by being killed. But suffering is unavoidable as a follower of Jesus. It's something we tend to shy away from. Well, I know I personally do. I'd like to be comfortable. But we should be going to it. We should be embracing the suffering, because it's part of the call of following Jesus. See, here in England, there is a growing hostility towards Christians. People think we're probably bigoted and have outdated views. But there are people who, for following Jesus, it means relationships have broken down, have been kicked out of the family, disowned by communities. And suffering is a dangerous thing, because when people suffer, it could cause them to look back and think, is this life worth it? Is it worth leaving that old life that I had behind? We need to pray that through suffering, that people would hold firm to Jesus. Because the devil used suffering. The devil used that as a thing to pull you away. So pray that we'd hold firm, that we'd stand firm as we suffer. So as we look again at leadership and leadership mattering, the Bible tells us we should trust our leaders that God has entrusted to us. Let me read verse 17. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. See, church is a wonderful place, but the problem with church is that it's a place filled with sinners. And the fact that it's filled with sinners means that everyone has their own ideas. Everyone thinks that everything should be a particular way. And there's a danger sometimes in those little things that we think causing churches and congregations to split, causing discontentment with leaders. I think sometimes we have to think, is it that important? Is my gripe that important? And now that's not saying to not communicate with your leaders if something's bothering you, but there's a way in which you can do it. And there's also a, is it that important? Is this what my problem stopping the spread of the gospel? And that's something I have to tell myself sometimes, because I think I have a way that I would do certain things and think, oh, I know best. But sometimes I don't. And I have to trust those who God has put in charge. We need to be helping our leaders. We need to be praying for our leaders. And I'm speaking to you guys at a time of transition. You need to be praying for your leaders that as they look for someone to be a pastor, that they'd look at the right characteristics. You pray for your elders that they would stand firm. We as congregations should be praying for our leaders more, that they would stand firm to Jesus, they'd hold firm to him. Because as they do that, they help us to do that. We need to keep on following our leaders. Keep following those God has entrusted to us. So we need to keep on loving. We need to keep following our leaders. And the third thing we need to do is to keep going to Jesus. See, Hebrews finishes with this great prayer. Verse 20, now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. See, we need to keep going to Jesus, because he's the one that helps us to live the life that God wants us to live. There's that great phrase in verse 21 where it says, equip you with everything good for doing his will. The idea of equipping you with everything is the idea of having every tool in the toolbox. There is nothing missing. He's that helper that is there to help us to live how God wants us to live. I think there's definitely a tendency to rely on self, to try and live a life that God wants us to live, but think that we can do it ourselves. But we can't. God has given us Jesus to help us. He's the one that fully equips us, gives us everything that we need so we can live a life that God wants us to live. So we should keep on going to him. Keep on going to him. And he continues to work in us. We're a bit like those roadworks that never seem to end, where the work is constantly in progress. So I've been a Christian for about 11 years now. I'm definitely closer to God than I was when I started being a Christian, but I'm still growing, and I will still grow. You can never complete being a Christian, not in this life. But we need to keep on going to the one who fully equips, who gives us everything that we need. Why? So we can live to please him. Now, pleasing God isn't something we can naturally do ourselves because we're unpleasing to God because of sin. But through Jesus, we can please God. That's an amazing thing. So as we keep on doing these three things, I pray that we wouldn't be looking back at our old lives through rose-tinted spectacles. That we wouldn't be thinking, oh, let me go back. But no, we'd be holding firm, holding on to Jesus, looking to him. And if you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus, the truth is that sin that this passage mentions and the Bible mentions at some point has to be dealt with. And is it something you're going to have to deal with yourself? Or are you going to trust in the one, that great shepherd of the sheep who lays down his life? Let me pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for that great shepherd of the sheep, the one who lays down his life for his people. Father, you pray that you'd help us to keep going to him. Father, may we hold firm. May we hold on to him, Father. We ask this in his wonderful name. Amen.